For Asian moviegoers, watching the latest Hollywood releases may call to mind that modern American proverb, been there, done that.
The whole time I was in that house, I felt something was wrong.
This weekend, The Grudge opens in theaters across the country, starring Sarah Michelle Gellar and directed by Takeshi Shimizu. In 2003, Japanese audiences saw the very same movie, also titled The Grudge, with an entirely Japanese cast. Mr. Shimizu wrote and directed that film as well. Later this month, Richard Gere, Susan Sarandon, and Jennifer Lopez star in a remake of Japan's top-grossing export, 1996's Shall We Dance? Remember, quick, quick, slow, quick, quick, slow.
わかります? Quick, quick, slow. Quick, quick, slow.
And Infernal Affairs, a savvy Hong Kong thriller playing now in theaters across the country, will reportedly star Matt Damon and Leonardo DiCaprio next year, directed by Martin Scorsese. Weekend Edition's entertainment commentator Elvis Mitchell joins us now from NPR West. Elvis, are these remakes or ripoffs?
I think they're both, actually. It's funny because you think about the Hong Kong action films, and they've been sort of stolen for a long time and have come here one way or another. But these Japanese horror films are kind of fascinating, like The Ring, or there's a Hong Kong horror film that's going to be remade called The Eye, and then there's Dark Waters, which has been remade by Walter Salles, who did The Motorcycle Diaries, and that's coming out at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And what's amazing about the Japanese horror films is that there's a kind of... they're basically about kind of a calm that's disrupted, and that sense of unease is what really makes for a really disturbing kind of psychological thriller with supernatural overtones.
Yeah, we have a clip from The Ring. Naomi Watts, the premise is people who see a particular video are guaranteed to die 7 days later.
Have you heard about this videotape that kills you when you watch it?
What kind of tape?
A tape. A regular tape. People run it, I don't know. You start to play it, and it's like somebody's nightmare. Then suddenly, this woman comes on, smiling at you, right? Seeing you through the screen. And as soon as it's over, your phone rings. Someone knows you've watched it. And what they say is, you will die in 7 days.
Well, all the more reason to switch to DVD.
I was just thinking, you know, that's a movie that came out in 2002, and the real horror is somebody still watching videotapes. Where'd they find this store?
So is there a message there that people who, it's coming off the top of my head now, that people who kind of seek some kind of solace or instruction from renting videos instead will find the prescription for their own death?
You think about that. We can even go back to Godzilla, which is, in the end, it's about kind of this disruption in the organic fiber material of the world, you know, about what nuclear power did and the kind of recompense that will be demanded on mankind for trying to modernize things and get in the way of that. And that's kind of what happens in The Ring. That's what the actual original Ring is about. That's sort of the horrors of technology and what they do and how they cause this kind of damage.
I want to ask you about John Woo, who I think was one of the first Asian filmmakers, at least over the past 20 years, whose name has become obviously quite familiar to Americans who now recognize a John Woo film. What kind of influence has he had in the U.S. film industry?
Well, you know, John Woo's first movie was Hard Target with Jean-Claude Van Damme, mm-hmm. which is actually the best Jean-Claude Van Damme movie ever made, which is kind of like being the fastest midget in the circus. But that aside, it still is, in his own terms, a really incredibly well-staged action movie.
Yeah.
And he went on to, basically, Quentin Tarantino talked John Travolta into doing a movie with Woo, which became Broken Arrow. And then he, of course, did Face Off, which is kind of the ne plus ultra of John Woo American action films.
Mm. We have a clip from Broken Arrow, Christian Slater and John Travolta. Mr. Travolta character has stolen some nuclear warheads. Mr. Slater wants them back.
I still got my finger on the trigger. That's the remote trigger. You see, if I press this button here, you lose. And if I push this button, the weapon is disarmed.
Once you disarm it, then
I'm not in the mood.
Did John Woo just make being as really, I think, smart as he is, did he just decide if he was going to work in American films, he was going to have to find something that communicated with what he took to be American sensibility?
I think so, and it's funny because there's always this sort of strain of verging on homoeroticism in his stuff that there's kind of no room for in American action pictures because nobody wants to deal with those kinds of undercurrents, and also that kind of that feeling again that both guys, the good guy and the bad guy, are really not that different.
I want to ask you about the success and the impact on U.S. cinema of Hong Kong movies, because as you've noted on this program, it could be that some of those Hong Kong action pictures are equivalent of musical these days. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, this year's Hero, for instance. They have some of the grandness of movie musicals, and for that matter, I think of the ballet. On the other hand, I don't care how many Pilates classes they go to, is it possible for American actors to tell that kind of story physically?
Well, I don't think Americans actually have the wire training that it takes. I mean, these actors like, and you maybe use the word loosely, Jet Li and Jackie Chan were trained martial artists before they did anything else. Yeah. And in fact, Jackie Chan uses as his inspiration Charlie Chaplin and Buster Keaton, who use action as comedy and use that as a kind of a definition that's often missing in American action films. You just don't have many Americans who can do that kind of stuff and actually be expressive facially at the same time. And we see Hero, Zhang Yimou, who's done a number of amazing, almost operatic melodramas in Hong Kong. And when he does an action picture, when he finally got around to Hero, as much as Hero is kind of a second-rate movie that could be directed by anybody, Zhang Yimou, who directed, you know, Razor Lantern, among other movies, has a picture coming up at the end of the year that really is a Zhang Yimou action movie. It's called The House of Flying Daggers. And by the last third of it, when basically there are all these romantic betrayals and you don't know exactly where you stand and there's nothing but heartbreak amongst all the action and bloodshed, you feel like you're finally seeing him make an action film and it was worth the wait.
Elvis Mitchell, our entertainment commentator, speaking to us from NPR West. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.